Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Oh, the weather outside is frightful, but the fire is so delightful. Since we've no place to go, let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Oh, and school children all over New York City will be singing that song tomorrow, because this just in from Chancellor Joel Klein and his minions: due to the anticipated inclement weather conditions, all New York City public schools will be closed tomorrow. All after-school activities and PSAL events also will be canceled. While travel conditions to school in the morning may not be difficult, they say, the weather is expected to worsen as the day progresses, complicating dismissal. They say they are making this decision today to give parents as much time as possible to make alternative plans for tomorrow. So spread the word. New York City schools pre-canceled tomorrow. Watch it not snow, and everybody will stay home. How many times has this happened before? But no New York City public schools tomorrow. Spread the word, and school children start singing. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow. No word yet from any other district. Between 2006 and August 2009, there were almost 1,500 foreclosures in Bushwick. Eva Sanchez, Metro News editor for El Diario La Prensa, has been reporting on the foreclosure crisis there and has written a three-part series this week on how Bushwick got into the crisis and how they might get out of it. And despite the promise of help from the Obama administration and from the city, she has found that very little aid has actually reached the community. Eva Sanchez is also a reporter for Feet in Two Worlds, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School and WNYC. Eva, welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Hi, good morning.
So the foreclosures in Bushwick are concentrated in the southern part of the neighborhood. Is it evident just by walking around that the area has been hit hard by foreclosures?
I mean, definitely. I mean, when you walk into the area, you can see, the windows, the doors are boarded up, and you can see, the trash piling up, the mail piling up. And you talk to people, and what is sad is, people perhaps who bought a home, 5 years ago in a street that where, there were no houses on sale or no foreclosures, now they found their street, totally, with abandoned homes and, homeless people, living on the street. So this part of the neighborhood, has had, a dramatic change in the past 5 years.
Ironically, there was a lot of new condo construction in the neighborhood in the last few years. Are those condos now sitting vacant?
Yeah, absolutely. There was, a count by this community organization, Make the Road, and they walked the neighborhood last summer, and they counted that there was more than 100 condominiums totally stalled, condominiums that were built during the crazy years of the bubble housing, and they are sitting there and basically vacant. They told me that they are two condominiums, they have only one tenant.
The federal stimulus plan included $2 billion to help cities around the country buy and repair abandoned homes and offer incentives for potential buyers. It's called the Neighborhood Stabilization Plan. But you report that the city has gotten just $20 million out of that $2 billion, and the city has only revitalized 7 properties total. Is that 7 citywide or 7 in Bushwick?
No, 7 citywide.
Wow.
I think the city has done a commendable job with the money they got, because actually, in New York City since 2006, more than 59,000 homes face foreclosure. But because the crisis in New York is New York is a city of renters, and the crisis has been felt in particular neighborhoods, so it was really difficult to compete against other cities in the U.S. So basically, what the city has done, they got only $20 million, which is nothing, because houses in other parts of the country are selling by $8,000, but in New York, still a foreclosure house can cost you $300,000. So
yeah.
Basically, what they did was trying to leverage private money, and it has taken a long time to try to put, to create a great facility so private money and public money could be spent.
And that money was, again, to repair abandoned homes to get them ready for sale. Is more money going to prevent more foreclosures?
Actually, not. Basically, like, this money from the federal government is only going to be used to buy and to buy and rehabilitate houses. But there is another initiative in the city that I think, you know, can have like a greater impact, which is like a nonprofit that was set up like about 2 years ago. And basically, this is like also has like some funding from the city and some funding from private like donations, and basically offers like free counseling to homeowners who have problems. And, you know, in 2 years, they only have a budget of $7.5 million a year, and they have reached like more than 6,000 like homeowners across the city. So I think, you know, that initiative could reach more people.
And listeners, we can take phone calls from Bushwick residents. Give us a call and tell us how the neighborhood has changed in the last couple of years. Do you know people who've lost their homes? Do you see abandoned properties? Do you hear stories of people being taken advantage of? Give us a call for Eva Sanchez, who's reporting this out in a three-part series for El Diario this week. 212-433-WNYC, or even if you're in another neighborhood that you think is going through something similar, because this is a region-wide issue, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. So either the only benefit that the federal government is providing for people struggling to pay their mortgage is to try to revitalize surrounding properties so that property values don't continue to plummet, except for the small program you just described?
Exactly. I mean, the stimulus funds, the only money that the stimulus funds provide basically for, neighborhoods who has been impacted by foreclosures is one, the Neighborhood Stabilization Program, which is like a modestly funded program because it's only like $2 billion. For the whole country. And then you also get like funding from other programs who can help. Like, for example, you have like some stimulus money to prevent like homelessness prevention or other type of programs that can also help a little bit like the neighborhoods not to fall into this repair. But basically there are very little help for homeowners.
Why have people in Bushwick entered into high-cost loans in large numbers? I've seen stats, and some of this is in your article, that black owners in the city, homeowners, receive five times more high-cost loans than whites. Hispanics receive 3.5 times more. According to the Furman Center at NYU, the Bushwick Community District has tripled the average numbers of high-cost loans in the city. That's those bad subprime loans. Why is that?
I mean, if you look at Bushwick, you know, I interview many homeowners that they don't have any idea of how many, like, refinances, like, they made. They don't have any idea what a mortgage implies or refinance. So, basically, I interview one person, and she told me, you know, I refinanced my house, like, three times, and I went into the public records and told this person, you refinanced your house, like, six times, and she hadn't even realized this. So I think one of the problems in Bushwick that this has been a community that has been, like, totally like, ignored by banks and financial institutions. So if you look only at 2008, they were, like, only two branches for a community where 130,000 people live, but you had, like, 13, like, checking, cashing, like, points and five pawn shops. So there is a community that I think has a lack of contact with financial institutions, and, you know, they fell prey of brokers and scrupulous brokers that got them into these bad mortgages.
And you point out that the neighborhood has only two bank branches and a credit cooperative, and yet tons of check cashing places. These are places that don't have access to financial services and financial education. And yet I wonder how you think politics plays into the federal government not coming through with more to prevent foreclosures. I want to play a clip from an exchange that we had on yesterday's show with Lorraine Scanny, a Tea Party movement leader on Staten Island. She cited the Rick Santelli rant on CNBC last year as part of the inspiration for the Tea Party movement. The rant is against foreclosure relief and for personal responsibility for homeowners. Here is the exchange, starting with Lorraine's voice.
I know it inspired me just to personal fiscal responsibility, that was something that I think motivated people on Staten Island to join our group.
For people who don't know, and since you brought it up, here is a little bit of that original Rick Santelli rant, which many people do say was the spark that ignited the Tea Party movement.
This is America. How many of you people want to pay for your neighbor's mortgage that has an extra bathroom and can't pay their bills? Raise their hand.
How about we all?
President Obama, are you listening?
So, Lorraine, do you have neighbors who are at risk of foreclosure now?
Not that I'm aware of, no.
So that was from yesterday's show. And Ava Sanchez from El Diario reporting on Bushwick. There is a caller, or a guest, really, who is a founder of the Tea Party movement on Staten Island, very much against foreclosure relief, who has no neighbors that she knows of, who are facing foreclosure. Do you think that this attitude, defined by the Tea Party movement, is a threat to struggling homeowners in Bushwick? Is this rippling up the chain to Washington and then back down to Bushwick in terms of lack of action, or do you think that's a stretch?
I totally disagree with that, because, you know, what I found out in Bushwick is, like, you have, like, this neighborhood where, you know, there were families who, you know, where they're, like, you know, they, for example, like, hold on after, you know, the late 70s when, you know, the neighborhood was a disaster, and after the blackout, like, dozens of homes were burned, commercial strips were burned, and these people, like, bought a house, sticking to their house for many, many years, and I think they got just caught up, you know, in the past few years in this crazy frenzy of refinancings and scrupulous brokers, and, you know, many people lived there for 30 years without a problem, and until the past 10 years when all this, like, crazy thing started. So,
but do you see people, in your reporting, do you see people pitted against one another over the foreclosure crisis in Brooklyn?
I don't understand you, sorry.
Homeowners who can pay their mortgage feeling resentment against homeowners who can't pay their mortgage, maybe even in the neighborhood?
I mean, actually, I didn't find that, because, you know, the homeowners, like, I interview, who are paying their bills on time, they basically say, you know, I wish the federal government could spend more money to help my neighbors, like, hold onto their homes. Because, you know, when someone in the neighborhood, like, loses a house that where they have lived for 30 years, we're talking about people that live in the houses for many, many years. So basically, you know, a whole generation is lost, a lot of wealth is lost, and I didn't find out, like, that resentment. What mm-hmm. I found out is, like, I wish they could help more of my neighbors to hold on to this.
James in the Bronx, you're on WNYC. Hi, James.
Hi, how you doing?
Okay.
Great to be with you.
Thank you.
Basically, I'm an urban planner. I've been a community activist. I own real estate. And what I've seen in the city of New York, particularly in low-income neighborhoods like Bushwick, the Upper West Side, the urban renewal areas, those areas, the communities that were designated at NSAs, neighborhood strategy areas, is that you have groups like this Tea Party and other groups that are part of the gentry that want to blame those people that have lived in those communities forever.
Yeah.
And have tried to reinvent community, a sense of community, a sense of pride. They stuck through all the budget crisis, the city while it was in crisis. They continuously have denied access to these people. The Reinvestment Act has not been active. They in Bushwick, particularly when you have no real lending institutions in the community. So these guys are just blaming the victims.
James, I'm going to leave it there. Thank you for your call. Sandra in Bushwick, you're on WNYC. Hi, Sandra.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thank you.
So I work in the Bushwick area. I visit home, go house to house. And, you know, I'm actually looking for a place to live right now, because I was in Crown Heights, so I was close to my work area, and I was paying $1,900 in rent. So when I saw that there were so many foreclosures on the market, I said, well, maybe I can find a foreclosure that I could afford to live in. you know, to rehab. And really, at my salary, because my partner is a stockbroker who was downsized, and now we're on one income as she's in school. And, you know, I look around Bushwick, and there's nothing that I can possibly even look at under, you know, $350,000 or so. And these mortgages would be so much higher than we would have even been paying in rent. I mean, you're looking at a $2,500 plus mortgage, not even heating the place. And do I want to be in Bushwick and pay that kind of money? I might as well go somewhere outside of the city and even pay the taxes on Long Island and have a commute and have access to restaurants, et cetera. There's some nice restaurants here, but it's quite ethnic, and I'm Afro-American. You know, I wouldn't mind riding to the mall and going to. So do you understand where I'm coming from?
I sure do. So do you, so Sandra, do you,
working person.
Do you,
so
you
see here is that they invest in making rental properties available to people who can keep this neighborhood traditional, and
right.
To the people who
and you walk. So you walk around Bushwick and you find a patchwork of abandoned homes because of the foreclosure crisis hitting hard, and overpriced homes. A funny,
yeah.
A curious,
I mean,
mix.
You know, this is like the guy said. It's a low-income neighborhood. You do have working families here, but we're blue-collar. We're, you know, we're not families who can afford a $300,000 mortgage and raise children. It's just too much.
Sandra, good luck, and thank you for your call. It's an important call. Some of the stats I see. This is in your article, Ava. You found that subsidies for new construction aren't deep enough for people in Bushwick to be able to afford. This is a community on average that makes $31,000 a year. So that really relates a lot to Sandra's call, right?
Yeah, exactly. I'm publishing the story tomorrow of this person I found in one of the homes, in one of the streets that was like hardest hit by foreclosures. And basically this woman lives, she bought the house like 5 years ago, and now she found her street like full of foreclosures. And in front of her house, she has like a house that was rehabilitated with money through a program that hopes to create like affordable housing and is supervised by the city. And the house, that is a two-family home, sells for $460,000. So basically, she said this is not something that we can afford because she earns like $32,000, you know.
Yeah. Foreclosed, abandoned, sometimes run-down homes, but still selling for those kinds of prices. We just have a minute left, but I want to mention one thing to help protect people, because you found that the Obama administration's commitment to help has ironically created an opportunity for hucksters to take advantage of people. They say they're going to help people access federal money for a fee that ends up amounting to thousands of dollars and often for no actual help. What kinds of scams have you seen in Bushwick most prominently? And we have a minute left.
I mean, basically what I have seen is they send like this letter that has a logo, and basically they say this is a stimulus update, and basically they say pay me $2,000 and we will lower your rates and we will talk to your lender so you don't have to pay. And basically people don't pay and they enter in foreclosure without knowing. So basically I would advise anyone like to call 311 and try to find like a housing counselor that could help them for free.
Ava Sanchez, Metro News Editor for El Diario La Prensa, also with Feed in Two Worlds, and her three-part series on foreclosures in Bushwick continues tomorrow in El Diario. Thank you so much, Ava.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, we will replay that confusing census commercial that aired on the Super Bowl and talk about what it was trying to say.